We'll be leaving out about 2:30 this afternoon, going down to Telfair County, about 200 miles down the road to preach tonight down at Telfair State Prison. So I ask you to pray for us tonight. Had a good meeting on Friday night, Brother Robbie. Had about 169 men, I think, come out for the service, and 32 men came, got saved on Friday night. Before I got done preaching, they was lining up around the walls, some men just a-weeping their way to God before I got done preaching on Friday night. And boy, I told Brother David yesterday, I shared with him, and was a little bit down out there in the woods a while yesterday. I told him, I said, remind me of what preachers talked about 50 years ago. Before the man of God gets done preaching, folks is already under conviction and coming falling in the altars. We're so spoiled to preaching around here. It seems like it don't bother us as much. And I never want to get to the point that preaching don't stir my heart. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the men of God in our day, the preachers that we have. And I beg God to help me to be a man. I'm not a man of a great education, of great words, Brother Jeff. But I do want to be a man that's full of power. Amen. Amen. Full of God's wisdom and God's power. And I beg the power of God on my life every day that God would help me. And I appreciate the Lord and all He's done. John chapter number 5, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture. You stand with us this morning. You find it. I just got a thought on my heart. Just wrote down a couple of notes this morning. I don't have a great detailed outline, but I do got a thought on my heart. The Lord's been dealing with us for some time on John chapter number 5, verse number 1. The Bible said, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, the blind, the halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. The Bible said, for the angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the trouble in the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Yes. And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another step down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Thank you for standing with us. You can be seated this morning. I was thinking about this here, and we know the Scripture, but I thought about here this man, 38 years was here in Jerusalem. I thought his Brother Jeff, he was for 38 years he laid down by the pool here. I thought he was, every time I thought if somebody would come by and somebody... A man waited to get down in the pool. It was a time here in Jerusalem. I thought about the feast was the Hebrew festival was taking place. They had was a time where they come together here. But here by the time here when the Jews was coming together, we find here a marketplace. Amen. They came and there was a time was were trading. A lot of trading took place in the marketplace. And here we find in the marketplace was a pool, amen. We find it was a pool. Evidently here was healing waters, amen. It was a time here where folks had come and get help here. We find here the Bible talked about the blind and the halt and the lame and the different ones was a gathering around the pool. And I thought here there was had to be, I thought before somebody'd get in the pool, we do read in the Word of God here before the somebody could get into the pool, somebody had to trouble the waters, amen. Somebody had to come and stir the waters. And I noticed in the Word of God, reading this morning, here the blind man laid and he began to wait on somebody to trouble the water. And I thought before somebody trouble the water, every time he wanted to go down here, every time he wanted to get into the water, Brother Charles, I thought that somebody else would step in front of him. And every time he'd go to make a move, he'd hear the troubling of the water. And this man had to go on his own. What he could hear, he couldn't see. He was blind. He didn't have the sight that he needed. Amen. And he had to wait on someone else to trouble the water. But just about the time he got ready, Brother Robbie, to get into the pool here, there, somebody else would just step ahead of him. I'm sure day after day and week after week, he'd lay by the pool and wait for somebody to trouble the water. Amen. And here he was just awaiting and probably, no doubt, getting impatient, awaiting on somebody to come by and stir the waters. And I noticed here, the Bible said, for an angel went down here in a certain season to the pool. Amen. Let me remind you this morning that I thought about, we just don't get in the family of God whenever we want to. Amen. I want to say this morning, first of all, it's going to take somebody stirring the waters. Amen. Thank God we're living in a day where folks will come and join the church and sign a card to get in the pool and get baptized. Amen. I'm not talking about the pool in the back of the church that we go and have a baptizing in. Amen. I'm talking about the great family of God this morning, the pool that we're talking about this morning. I want to preach for just a few minutes on this morning, on this thought, on somebody needs to stir the water. Amen. Somebody needs to stir the water. Amen. I thought this morning here, and I hear this man that was trying to get in the pool and trying to get in, but somebody had to come and trouble the water. Thank God. Here we're living in a day, like I said, where anybody and everybody seems to become a member of the church, and it seems to, I mean, it's easier to get in the local church than it is getting out to Moose Lodge or somewhere like that and become any other club. It's easier to become a member of the local church. Amen. A local church will just take anything and everybody. We don't examine them anymore. Just come on in. All we have is numbers. Amen. And it seems like in most of our churches there, after they fill the board up and try to get the board numbers high, so on Monday when they go down to the preacher's meeting and the preacher's association, I mean, they can look back and say how many we had in church, how many we had in Sunday school, how many we had on the board on Sunday. Amen. But friend, if you ever get in the family of God, if you ever get birthed in the family of God, I want to say this morning, somebody's got to stir the water. Somebody's got to trouble your heart. Somebody's got to deal with you. Somebody's got to get, I'm telling you, somebody's got to get in contact with God. Friend, before you ever get in, God's going to have to trouble the water of your heart. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad for the night. I always say it, and I'll say it again. If everybody around you don't know your salvation experience, you ain't telling it enough. Thank God. Brother Robbie, I'll never get tired of telling about February the 2nd, 1982, about 8:30 that night. That story never gets old to me. When God for months had been troubling my heart, and God for months had been stirring my soul, and God for months had been a hold of me, and I never get tired of telling that old story. Thank God how he came by, how that he saved my soul that night. Thank God when I got birthed into the family of God, friend, I'm glad, hey, that old story never gets old, Brother David. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My mom and daddy couldn't get me in. My preacher couldn't get me in. My preacher couldn't deal with my heart. I thank God for a good man of God that night. Oh, Brother William, when he was, like I said, and him went down to prison on Friday night, and I just bragged on him, told him, Hunch, I appreciate him. I mean, boy, there's never been a time that he hadn't tried to embrace me and try to help me and encourage me along the way, but I'm glad for a good man of God that preached the word to me. Thank God. I thought about during this time, I thought about here, this man had to have some help. Amen. He was blinded, friend. He was blind. I thought about 38 years he laid by the pool. He had to have some help to help him into the water. And friend, sinners in our day, if they ever gonna get into the pool, amen, it's gonna take some of you and I as Christians, born again believers, of helping them. How do we help them, preacher? I'm telling you, somebody's gotta stir the waters. Somebody's gotta beg God. Somebody's gotta pray. Somebody's gotta get in touch with God if sinners ever get birthed in the family
amen.
Of God.
Amen.
I like what Brother Tommy Waite said. He was here and preached our missions meeting a couple years ago, and he's talking about where Jesus turned the water into wine. I've never seen that man open his Bible and read a scripture. I don't know if he can even read.
And I thought about it. He always says, well, I'm going to read out so-and-so, or you got your Bibles, whatever. He never him open his Bible. You never see him open his Bible. Never see him read no scripture, but he's always got a message to tell. And I thought, Brother Tommy said, you know, there when it's turning the water into wine, he said everybody's saying, Jesus, well, we want you to do this. Jesus, save the drunkard. Jesus, save the dope addict. Amen. And I thought, he said, God ain't going to do nothing. Amen. He said, there when they turned the water into wine, they sent the people out there to gather up the vessels, friend. I thought about over in the Word of God, over in the Book of Kings there, when that woman there, she needed oil for her boys to sell. He told them, said, take your servants, go out and gather up all the vessels that you can gather up. Friend, God's expecting us to put some legs on them prayers. God's expecting us. I thought about what Brother Tommy said so many times. He said, God's wanting some arms. God's wanting some legs. God's wanting some able bodies. God's wanting some mouths to get out and tell somebody. I thank God. I want to say somebody's got to stir the water this morning. I want to say, first of all, somebody needs to stir the water for our community. Amen. Thank God, our community around about this church. Somebody said, preacher, I want to be a missionary. I want to go to the mission field. And our mission field's right outside that door. We can go out and stand on the front porch, and it's just as far as we can see east. That's as far as we can see west. Just as far as we can see north or south. That's Truth Baptist Church. His mission field is right outside the door. And I want to tell you, God, help us to stir the waters and get a burden. Thank God for our church. Amen. Our community.
Amen.
Some of us are so ashamed we wouldn't knock on somebody's door. We're afraid they'd get dog bit. I like what the preacher said last Sunday morning. If you wasn't here for Brotherhood, you missed out.
Yes, sir.
That was some good preaching.
Yes, it was.
Brother Stringer, Jason Stringer, I believe is his name. Never heard him preach till last Sunday morning. He said, anybody that's saved and right with God, say you right with God. And if you ain't got a burden for some lost sinner, you backslid the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God we ought to get a burden. Boy,
That's right.
Get a burden for our community. Our community's lying and going to hell, Brother Jeff. And our church is around in this community right here. Somebody said, we need to go down yonder. Oh, so-and-so ain't going to church. We ain't got to go to no other church and try to steal no other sheep. Amen. I mean, I guarantee you there's enough of them right here in this community in Bremen, Georgia, lost on their way to hell without God, Brother Thomas. And somebody ought to stir the water, get a burden. Thank God. Our community surrounding about us. I've been lazy myself. I've been guilty for not going and visiting like I ought to. Friend, I'm preaching to myself this morning. I beg God to help me, Brother Matthew, that God would help me get a burden for our community that's dying and going to hell without God. I thank God our mission field outside the door. Friend, we need to get busy. The fields are wide and ready to harvest, but the Bible said the labor's is few. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The labor's is few. Well, I tell you, this morning we need to get a burden. Stir the water for our community.
Amen.
Community dying, going to hell without God. There's folks that's hurting, situations and people's out there in their lives is loneliness. And I thought about we're living in a day where it seems like, and during the holiday season and approaching, there's more accounts of suicide right now, Brother Robbie, than any other time in the year. Right. Folks is lonely and folks is wanting somebody to love them, and folks is just wanting somebody to know that somebody cares about them. Amen. There's been so many times we went and we knocked on doors in days gone by, and somebody said, well, nobody's ever come visit us. Nobody's ever cared about us. Nobody. And we've got folks to come to church like that because to show them that somebody cares. Jude chapter 1 in the book of Jude, verse number 18. The Bible said, some having compassion making a difference. Amen. Whoa, friend. Compassion goes a long ways. Compassion will go a long ways down the road and out the door just to know, thank God that somebody cares and somebody loves them. And I tell you, we ought to stir the water. We ought to pray. Not only just pray for our community, but get up and go to work in it. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, to stir the water for our community. I want to say this morning, somebody had to stir the waters. The angel came down, verse 4, in a certain time, went down at a certain season on the pool and troubled the waters. Amen. Whosoever the first after the trouble in the waters was stepped in was made whole. Whatever disease he had, Oh, we got a disease running rapid in Bremen, Georgia. Amen. I mean, it's worse than anything else in the world. And it's a sin disease, friend. I mean, I'm telling you, it's all over the world. Somebody said, well, I tell you, this AIDS is bad. It's running rapid in a lot of countries. Amen. I tell you, sin's killed more people than AIDS ever had. Sin's took further people down the road. Dope and liquor, amen. Friend, I want to tell you, we ought to stir the waters not only for our community, but I want to say for our children, amen. Thank God, I'm glad. I got two little boys there yet young. Brother Jeff, I've already been praying that God stir their heart when it comes time. Brother Toby, I've watched in days gone by, preacher and God, just in the past few weeks with your youngin', and I don't really know God. All's are going on right now, but I've seen God squeeze her little heart. Amen. I want to tell you, we don't need nobody to take our youngins off in the back room and give them a false sense of hope. Amen. And you let God, the Holy Ghost, deal with their heart. And when it comes time, all we need to do is pray. All we need to do is get in contact with God and let God do a work in their heart when He sees fit. Amen. When God sees time, when it comes time in His time and in His season. Amen. Let the Lord do the work. All we need to do is stir the waters for our children. Amen. I want nobody taking my kid in the back room and try to put some kind of false sense of hope in them and letting them read, trying to make them repeat a prayer somewhere. Amen. That's God. I want God, the Holy Ghost, to deal with their heart when it comes His time. And friend, I've seen so many youngins at 4 or 5 years old. Somebody's took them back there and tried to make them repeat a sinner's prayer, run them on down, join the church, put them in the baptism pool somewhere. And the whole time, God's never dealt with their heart. And later on in life, when God deals with them, hey, friend, I'm telling you, and they think, well, we're all right. I done prayed a sinner's prayer. I joined the church, got right, and a lot of them may end up dying and going to hell if we try to put our stamp of approval on it. And I'm telling you, leave it alone. Just pray and let God deal with their heart. Thank God He can do the work. I can't save nobody. I can't get nobody in, but I can stir the water for your children and mine. Amen.
That's right, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I mess it up for my young, and I'd be mad. I'd be mad. I done seen it happen so many times where somebody would take them off. And people, a lot of folks has got good intentions, but their good intentions lead the wrong way. I lead the wrong way. I don't believe no 3 or 4 year old youngin's got sense enough to know and understand what all there is to know. And I'm 35 years old, and I still don't understand all of it, amen. But I'm telling you, don't mess that up for no kid, amen. You just pray and let God deal with their heart, and on God's time, and you pray and put your arms around your youngins. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care about them.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, don't mess it up, friend. Oh, we ought to just pray that God would stir the waters. Somebody said, well, when they get to a certain age, and a lot of folks just try to put an age limit on it, how old they need to be when they get saved. I don't have an age limit this morning. This Bible don't give an age limit, amen.
Right.
I tell you when the age limit ends, when God the Holy Ghost stirs the waters of their heart, amen. And friend, when they fall under Holy Ghost conviction, realize they're lost and on their way to hell without help and without hope, that's when they'll get in and not before then, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stir the waters for our children. I got one at 6, one 17, be 18 months old. And I don't know when that time will come. Brother Jeff, I don't know. I don't know when that time will come. But all I can do is pray and beg God.
Right.
Oh, I mean, pray every night and pray before we go to bed. And William, we make him pray at night. And I tell him, I said, other night, sometimes we got to hold them down. Sometimes you got to strap them to the bed and hold them down to get them to pray. And they're always wanting to get busy doing something else. They're not always interested in praying, amen. They're just children. I mean, William this morning, he said, Daddy, can we go to the Cracker Barrel and eat? I said, son, I said, well, you like the Cracker Barrel food? He said, no, but I sure like them games and toys they got up there, amen. I mean, man, I'm telling you, well, they're not always interested in the things that they need to be interested in. They're interested in playing a lot of times more, but I tell you, we try to hold them down. Come in a while back, Tracy trying to hold them down and reading Bible stories and pray with them, and one's wanting to run this way and one's wanting to run that way, but it's still our obligation, it's still our duty, make them do it anyway. I was laying there the other night, William, we was praying him in the bed, and he was tired, wanting to go to sleep. And I said, we was praying, I'll make him repeat after me sometimes when we're praying. Oh, Lord, bless this, and I'll make him say it. And he's laying there in the bed, and he said, I said, well, bless this one, Lord, touch this one. He said, Lord, bless this one, just hurry up, I'm tired, I'm ready to go to sleep. Amen. I mean, tired and give out. Some sounds like some of us around here, adults, always tired. Amen. Oh, but I'm saying this morning, pour it into them anyway. Thank God, it won't hurt them. We'll stir the waters. I'll keep a bringing them to church. Keep a stirring Jesus in them. Thank God. I tell you, one of these days, what'll happen if we keep pouring it on them? Thank God, one of these days, God will deal with their heart, and He'll trouble the waters when it comes that time. Thank God, I want to say, we ought to stir the waters for our children this morning.
Right, yes, sir. Yes, amen.
It'll take a lot of prayer in raising kids in our day. I don't know what you think about this morning. We're not living in days like people lived in 40, 50 years ago. There's more sin, more junk on the TV. There's more outside. I mean, I thought if you ever thought you'd ever see a day, I'm glad it's wintertime. Folks, put some clothes on, amen.
Yes, sir.
Summertime, I'm about ashamed to go out in public. I mean, folks want to run naked and everything else. Your kids asking questions, why they do this, why they do that. And I tell you what, I'm about ashamed to go outside. But I want to say we ought to stir the waters for our children this morning. Our companions, not only our children, our companions. Well, I told them the other night in the prison, I said, you know, a lot of times we thinking our wives has got, I sometimes, my wife, she said, I'm tired. I said, what have you done all day long? I mean, man, here I come in, I done worked day and night, seems like, and here you are laid up on the couch. I told her, I said, you laid up on the couch all day and watch soap operas or something like that. Ain't no way you could have an easy job. I mean, your job's got to be easy, amen. She said, I tell you what, I'll trade places with you. I'll go do what you do one day, and you can keep the youngins. And while I went out, I let her go do something for a few hours the other day. I said, ain't no way. This can't be nothing hard to it. Brother Jeff, I thought about once I stayed in the house for a little while and there run around. I thought I'd be nice, just cook supper for her. She'd went and got her hair done or something and come back. And I don't remember, she'd went off somewhere for a couple hours. And I mean, it wouldn't be just 2 or 3 hours. And there, every time I turn around, the young and Levi was a-climbing the walls and a-climbing the curtains. Amen. By the time I get him out of one thing, get another one, I mean, run down the hall there. I mean, here he is. I thought, Lord God, looked around and stuff's running out the side of his diaper. And they say 7 to 14 pounds, they're lying. It won't hold that much. Amen. I mean, I'm here to tell you this morning, he run down the hall the other day, yanked his diaper off. It looked like a cow, made a few droppings down through there. I was trying to clean the mess up. She got home in a little while. I run up and kissed her. Amen. I said, honey, you can have these youngins. Don't ever ask me to watch them again while you're gone. Your job's not as easy as I thought it was. And a lot of times we come to church, we're expecting our wives to be spirit-filled, expect them to be Holy Ghost-filled, and we get in the prayer room, some of us say, pray for our wife. I just don't know what in the world's wrong with her, amen. I mean, just spend a little time being in their shoes for a little while. It'll make you more compassionate. It'll make you want to pray for her a little more. I mean, we're sitting on the front row, most of our men's wives are sitting in the back of the church. They're chasing youngins and flipping pews, amen, and we're wondering why they ain't no more spiritual than what they are. I tell you, God, help us to have more compassion towards our wise men. We ought to stir the waters and pray for them. Their job's not as easy as we think it is. Amen.
Bless you, preacher. Amen. Bless him, Lord.
We ought to stir the water for our community, our children, our companions. I thank God for a good godly wife. I wouldn't trade places none of you this morning. Some of you say, well, I tell you, you know, your wife just don't do nothing. She don't. Some of you call 3, 4, 15 times a day wanting her to go off somewhere and go shopping malls and here and there. And Sister Sonia said, I just don't understand. Tracy won't go nowhere with me. Amen. She's just not a goer. She don't go nowhere. I mean, I give her money, tell her to go somewhere, do what she wants to. She said, I just sit at home. Amen. I wouldn't trade places, none of you men. Amen. I like it. It don't cost me much to keep her up. Thank God. I mean, boy, I thank God. I wouldn't trade places with none of you. Amen. I mean, Sister Teresa, I thought, Lord, she can kill a bigger deer than most of us men here. Brother David looked at one yesterday, and I got on the phone. I said, who you calling, Sister Teresa, to come kill that thing for you? I mean, she can do it. Amen. Wow, what a woman can kill a deer. and go out there and take her a sack full of Oreo cookies and kill a deer. Amen. I mean, I sat out there all week long, froze to death, ain't seen nothing. Here she is out there 30 minutes, done killed her one back at the house, sitting there taking it easy. Wow, what a woman. I still wouldn't trade places with none of you. Thank God. I mean, I thank God for a good companion, a godly woman. Amen. A woman to read that Bible. My boys, that brother David, wanted to stir the waters, pray for her youngins. Thank God. I ain't got to worry about when I'm off down to prison preaching somewhere, brother Robbie, where she's at or where she's out or running around or who she's with. Amen. And I thank God for a godly wife, a godly companion, and God hooked us up a long time ago, and I plan on sticking with her if it kills me. Amen. Amen. But we ought to stir the waters for our companions once in a while.
That's right.
You know, we neglect them. I'll be honest. We take them for granted too much. And I beg God to help me not take my wife for granted. God put her together. I thought about Brother Roloff preaching that message and preaching the ordination service there. And you know, he didn't give Adam much choice, did he? He made Adam and Eve, and he said, "There she is, bud. You take her or leave her." He didn't give her much choice. And nowadays, we don't see it that way. If it don't work out, we go get another. I still took a vow to death do his part.
Amen.
Now, I know I'm touching on touchy situation on dangerous ground this morning. That's all right. But I still believe death do your part.
Amen.
God put you together, one brother Jeff Bryant. I believe he intends on you sticking with her. I mean, if you have to knock one another's eyeballs out in the frying pan every other day, and that will not be the way it is, but I'm telling you, we ought to stick with them. Thank God, pray for one another. I believe divorce rate would be at an all-time low. It's all-time high right now. But if more people would pray together and stay together, amen, and stick to the oracles of this book right here, amen, stick right here to this Bible and follow in the leadership for the Word of God of a marriage, amen, I'm telling you, there wouldn't be so much divorces, friend. I mean, I'm telling you, more family. I've seen in a day we live, people's been married 40 and 50 and 60 years, all of a sudden calling it quits and giving up. Hey, man, I've never seen like a day. They've lost their concern for one another. They've lost their love for one another. We've lost their compassion for one another. God help us. We're commanded to pray for one another. Amen.
Amen.
Stir the waters for our companions. Then I want to say we're to stir the waters for our comrades. Our comrades this morning. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, and I guess us more of the churches, but I'm maybe our preacher brothers and our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. Those, I thought about, there's a lot of them's gone before us that's paved the highway.
Sure.
There's so many that's gone. I thought about some of them dear old men of God, Brother Clifford, that's gone and paved the highway for us, and I thank God for them. Toby's granddaddy, I think about so many times, Brother C.L., him, things that he's done and went and worked and done without to try to build the church where he's at. And no doubt there's been a lot of nights he spent awake in prayer. And I thank God for our pastor this morning. I mean, I love some dear men of God. They're some of the greatest evangelists I know. I love to hear someone preach. But I'd rather hear our man of God this morning preach than any preacher I know. He's my favorite preacher, amen. I love him dearly. I know there's been nights he stayed awake all night long of praying. Someone praying for you and your families and spending time when those are sick in the hospital and at the point of death. Be up all night long. Times he spent money putting his own gas tank right up and down the road to go run back and forth to the hospitals. Another night we'd come in late and me and Brother David was over there deer hunting and it was way after dark that night. Was getting ready to leave. Here he come walking out to the door and some one of our church, I think Brother Clifford was in the hospital. And I said, "Where are you going this time of night?" He said, "I don't know. I'm just going down to the hospital and check on Brother Clifford down there." Amen. And I tell you what, I thought about that so much that night. We left. He's spending time at late hours at night. He could be home or resting with his family. Here he is running up and down the road. Thank God. A concerned and love for his church members. Amen. Concerned for people that's in need. Concerned more for others than his own self. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, we're to stir the waters for our comrades this morning. Pray for the man of God. Embrace him. Uplift him. Uphold him. Thank God. I want to say those that's gone before us, amen. Those that's paved the highway, that we can have a good road to travel today, and we can have a good church here to come and worship in, amen. I thank God. Hey, hey, friend, we ought to stir the waters for our comrades, amen.
Amen.
Those before us. I won't say those beside us. You know what, Brother Robbie, if the devil can ever... I'm not tempted with liquor. I'm not tempted with dope, nothing like that. I've never had a problem with that. But the devil, if he can get me discouraged, you know what he'll do? If he can get you discouraged, he get me discouraged, he's going to work on that because he knows. If he can get me discouraged, that I won't want to witness like I ought to. I don't want to pray like I ought to.
Right.
Now, I don't want to get up and do nothing like I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
Friend, I tell you, the devil will fight me with discouragement more than anything in the world. He fights me with that a lot of times. And then it takes a lot of prayer, a lot of time staying on my knees trying to pray. And you may not have that problem this morning. I mean, you may not have that problem. But I guarantee you, things can be going along pretty good, money in our pocket, and boy, the bills is all paid. But you let the bank account get low, Brother David, and bills go to piling up. Man, this old boy gets a little discouraged. I go to wondering about these things. And I go to thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? We got bills to pay. We got a family to feed. We got to keep a roof over their head. And I go to thinking, there ain't never been a time that God hadn't ever let me down. There's never been a time that he ain't always come through. But still, I mean, that old devil will put discouragement out there, amen. And friend, it may be about that time when I'm just about ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. And it may be some of those times that some of you come by. Friend, I'm talking about stirring the waters for one another this morning. When I'm coming by and I'm just about ready to throw in a towel and quit. And it may be someone come walking in here and I don't feel like coming in. I don't feel like standing on another step. And it may be some of them times, Brother Robbie, that you come by and put your arms around me and say, Preacher, I love you. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate you going to prison. Amen. And that just gives me strength for the journey. It gives me help this morning, and I keep on keeping on, thank God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
My mom a while back found out she had cancer, and Brother John, he's not here this morning. I miss him so bad this morning. He's not out of his place this morning. He's not here. And when you're not in your place, I miss you, amen. I mean, we look around this morning. We got a lot out. Sister Tanya's not here. Brother John, there's others that's not here this morning. And I miss them bad this morning. It makes a difference. You think, well, I'll just stay home. Nobody will notice. It makes a difference in the whole service if you're not in your place. Amen. And I tell you, we're to look around, those that surround us. But I want to say we're to stir the waters this morning for our community, our children, our companions, our comrades. Amen. Those beside us. I thought about and this morning, and I'll close with this, but I want to say we're to stir the waters for our church members this morning. I love my church. I thank God for the church. There might be problems with people and things in the church, but there's not a problem with the church. Amen.
Amen.
I appreciate the church this morning. I was talking with Brother John a few weeks ago, and a while back my mom found out she had cancer, Brother Jeff, and here the other night, about 3 weeks ago, and I think Sister Ginger was off, and she might have been off with some of her family, and got a phone call. Brother John never kind of, and he's not here this morning, so he can listen to the tape, but he hardly ever, just either way, he stays so busy, he's got a lot going on, I know he's got a lot on, but he just hardly ever just calls me out of the blue, just to check and see how I'm doing or something like that. That don't bother me, it don't bother me at all, amen. I just assume everybody would leave me alone most of the time, Brother Tony. I got a lot going on, stay busy myself, but I thought, Brother John, just call me one night. I was sitting at home, and just sitting there, and wasn't doing a whole lot, and Brother John called me, and it was long, 7, 8 o'clock at night, and I think my in-laws was over at the house or something, and we was sitting there, and he said, it's Brother John. Said, I thought, well, what do you want? You know, you hardly ever just call to be calling. He said, well, Preacher, I was just thinking about you all day, and he said, you've been on my heart all day, and he said, I just want to call and see how you was doing. I want to call and check on you, Mom, see if there's anything I can do for y'all. Do you need any money, anything I can do for y'all, just let me know. And, Preacher, you don't know how much that helped me. Thank God just to knowing that somebody cared, somebody was a-thinking, somebody was a-praying for me, amen. Man, that encouraged me, and that strengthened me. And I'm telling you, maybe that time when somebody's down and out and somebody's got their head hung low and we go by and put our arms around them and just let them know I love you and I'm thinking about you. Hey, friend. It may be those times we ought to stir the waters for one another.
Amen.
This morning. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I got a call last week. I told you it was holiday season coming up, Thanksgiving. Suicides at an all-time rate. High. People discouraged. Had a good friend of ours, and Brother Toby knows him. We've been out on his place camping out there. The church goes camping. Shot himself a while back. But I got a call this past week, Brother Jeff. Somebody was going to commit suicide. And it broke my heart. I tried to talk to them for a while. They said they started to get in a car and run off a bridge. They didn't know what to do. They started just getting in a car and going down the road and hit a telephone pole. Just wanting to kill themselves is discouraged. This person's got two brothers, both of them's preachers. Said their brothers didn't care nothing in the world about them. I talked to them for a little while and tried to talk them out of killing themselves. Tried to just encourage them. Didn't do nothing, just talk to them, tried to encourage them for a little while. And the saddest thing about it broke my heart, they're a member of this church. You come to me after church and ask me who it is, and I won't tell you. I'm not at liberty to say. But the saddest part about it, they're a member of this church. They're not here today, but they're a member of this church. Well, it's got quiet in here this morning. Called out of discouragement because they felt like nobody loved them. Felt like nobody cared. I began to talk to them. I said, ma'am, there's somebody that cares. I know our people at our church is real busy. Got a lot going on. I know maybe this person does require a lot of attention. But I said, maybe they're real busy. Maybe everybody's just maybe looked over everybody, hadn't seen the call. I tried to talk to them, tried to encourage them and embrace them all I could. They said, I feel like nobody in the world cares. Nobody loves me. I said, ma'am, I want you to know I love you. And besides all that, if you think nobody else cares, there's a God in heaven who cares. There's a Savior who cares. I was taking a Bible class, Brother David. I know what it's like to be there in the same shape. I've never told this. I've never mentioned this to nobody in my whole life. My wife don't even know this, and I feel like sharing this morning. I'll be done. Victory Christian Academy, the last year I went to school, I went to Victory Christian Academy, Sister Angie. 17 years old, and you know how a 17-year-old is. They think they know everything. They don't need to hear what Mom and Dad's got to tell them anymore. They know everything. 17 years old, I was taking a Bible class. Brother Leonard Chambers had given a Bible class. And I don't remember much about that Bible class, but I do remember in that Bible class some things he told us. 17 years old, and I was at the point that my daddy, me and him, was at neck and neck. He's wanting me to do right, wanting me to try to do right and do the things right, be a man, grow up and be a man. I was wanting to do my own thing, go my own way. Streak of rebellion in me like big as a buffalo, Brother Robbie. I come in my room one night, 17 years old, took a 30-30 deer rifle, put a shell in it, pulled the hammer back and stuck it to my head, Brother David, out of discouragement so bad. I felt like nobody cared. And I stuck it there and ready to blow my brains out. And all I could hear in the back of my mind was Leonard Chambers was saying, the principal of our school during this Bible class, he says, son, when you ever get to the point that you think nobody else cares and nobody else loves you, he said, you remember I love you and God loves you. And there's a great God in heaven. His arms is bigger than any arms on this earth. Amen. And he can wrap his arms around you. And all I could think about is how big God, how big his love was. I laid that rifle down. I took the shell out, David. I didn't have no more reason to kill myself. All I want to say, I said, God loves me. Friend, this morning, you may be here this morning, and you're facing decisions, you're facing discouragement, and you're facing times, and you don't know what to do this morning. Friend, I want to remind you, there's a sovereign God in heaven that cares this morning. There's a Savior that cares this morning. Thank God Jesus knows all about our struggles. He knows all about our cares this morning. And friend, I want to stir the waters. Pray that God will stir the waters of our hearts for our individuals, our church this morning, our comrades, those beside us. Friend, I want to say that somebody cares, and God in heaven cares this morning. Friend, thank God we ought to think about about that this morning when somebody's maybe down and out, somebody may be low, and it may be one of us that goes and put our arms around them that might just build them up and help them along the way this morning. Friend, church, this morning we ought to stir the waters for one another. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Stir the waters. Somebody stirred the waters for the blind man. Somebody had to help him into the pool. I wonder this morning while they come in the verse of song. Maybe you're here this morning. You're fighting situations you don't know what to do with. Maybe you're facing decisions that's too big to handle. Maybe you're tired of climbing that mountain this morning. I wonder this morning. I wonder this morning. You need to talk to the Lord. Maybe you got loved ones. I got a brother, half brother, that's on dope. Just got out of a, Brother Clifford, he just got out of a dry out clinic thing, drug rehab in Cedartown, Georgia. Been there over a month. Been on meth, hooked on everything. If somebody don't stir the waters for him, I've been a praying, Brother Tony. If he don't get right with God, he'll die and go to hell. Got loved ones that's lost and on their way to hell. Got neighbors beside us. Got a next door neighbor just at the verge of losing everything they got. Been having problems. I've been trying to talk to them to get them to come to church. Somebody's got to stir the waters for our community and our neighbors. I beg God to help us this morning. You need to come pray. Some of them's doing business with God this morning. I preach what the Lord's laid on our hearts this morning. You need to help. I mean, you've got loved ones you're concerned about this morning. Preacher, I prayed, ain't doing no good. Well, maybe you ought to stir the water for them one more time.